Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts, Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game.
All right. It is Baltimore Sports Talk on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. I'm Rob McQuay, your host. Jeff Coles is my co-host in Mount Vernon, Ohio. And it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, Jeffrey.
Yes, it is. And it's been that way for the last couple of days. And I'm telling you what, I'm ready to play ball.
Yeah, it's feeling around here. It's kind of feeling a little spring-ish and kind of getting us in the mood. Of course, pitchers and catchers reported last week and started workouts on Friday, and I believe the rest of the ball club reports tomorrow. And which reminds me, I titled this show incorrectly, and I must apologize for that. And because I called it a Trash Talk Tuesday, but in fact it's a, well, we would say it's a Monday morning quarterback, but football season's over, so
yes,
we have to come up with a different name for Mondays. But anyway, so tomorrow the rest of the squad will report to Sarasota for the Orioles, and Wednesday I believe they start full squad workouts in earnest. And then, as you and I were just talking about off the air, a week from tomorrow, the first spring training game. So here we go.
Woohoo! Yeah.
All right, Jeff. Of course, over the weekend, the Orioles finally signed a pitcher that they've been talking about for quite some time. And so we have a new pitcher in the fold, and now there are still reports that they're going to go after an outfielder, potentially a leadoff batter. So let's talk about all that. So they signed Yovani Gallardo over the weekend, 3 years, $35 million. Pretty good deal. Let's talk about Gallardo a bit now. We've done that in the past couple of weeks, but now he's actually a member of the rotation. So let's talk about Gallardo. Where do you think he fits in?
Well, I think he's at the maybe in the top one or two spots in the rotation. He's going to add a lot of stability to the team. His fastball's in the low 90s. He's well. We talked about this a little bit last week. And he's beginning to rely a little bit more on his changeup in the last couple of years. Although his strikeout total isn't as high as it used to be, his ERA is unchanged. I'd say that he's actually his ERA is down from about 4 runs a game to about 3.5. So that's a good sign, and I think the Orioles have a good deal.
Yeah, I agree. I've got some friends here, Jeff. So we may be competing a little bit. I gotta get this one in my lap so he'll stop. But you know, where does he fit in? Is he the number one starter? Is he the number five? Where does he fit in?
Well, I said about the number one or two, and that's really going to depend on how Chris Tillman responds to having Matt Wieters back behind the plate, because we talked about that also. How many wins do you think Matt Wieters is going to be worth to the Orioles in terms of the way he handles that that pitching staff? Maybe about 5 or 6 wins this year?
I hopefully, as we've talked about in the past, Wieters is going to help out the rotation in ways that we did not see last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously time will tell. We'll find out. But I think so, because I think he'll handle the staff a bit differently than Caleb Joseph did. And, you know, we'll see.
The other part of this is, you know, is Kevin Gausman ready to have a breakout season? And if he does, he might be that in that one or two starter role. You know, it just there are a lot of questions on this Orioles starting staff. For a little while, even Ubaldo became the number one or two starter. So, you know, it just depends on who wants to step up. But I think that Gallardo is going to be one of those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we'll see. I'm not sure that he's a one or two, but he's at least the third guy. I mean, let's say that Tillman gets penciled in as the number one, which he probably will, then maybe. I think it's too early right now to say that Gausman's number two. In fact, right. I would say at this stage of the game, you're probably going to have Tillman one, Ubaldo two, I think, maybe Gallardo three, Gonzalez four, and Gausman five. I think that might be, at least going into spring training, that's probably what you're looking at. Although Gallardo could be two and Ubaldo, three. I think that's those two guys maybe at this point are interchangeable. And then we'll see through spring training how things shake out as to what Buck actually has the starting rotation set when, you know, when they open the season. But,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, of course, also have a few others that we didn't mention, Dylan Bundy, Hunter Harvey, we don't even know what they can do.
Right. Wright, Young. There's a couple other guys, but that's also good because at some point you're going to need that number 6, 7, 8 guy, for a spot start or maybe they become long relief and you know, that kind of thing. It's a good situation to be in. Now, let's make no bones here, Jeff. Giovanni Gallardo on most other staffs is probably your number five.
I agree.
Moves up considerably on the Orioles because they don't have an ace. They don't have a 1-2, possibly three. They don't have a David Price. They don't have these guys out there. While we're thrilled about Gallardo, we also have to temper that a bit by saying, you know, it is Giovanni Gallardo. It's not Nolan Ryan.
this is a team that can afford to throw five number three starters into a rotation because they've got the best bullpen in the American League.
Yep, the bullpen is going to be strong, and they've got bats this year. They've always had bats, but they haven't lost really in the bat department, and they maybe have.
Hello. Yeah, Rob, you were saying they haven't lost anything in the bat department, and in fact, it looks. At this point, like their bats are probably there's a better combination of bats in terms of we've got Matt Wieters back in the middle of the lineup. He's going to be really important.
Hey Jeff, yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I don't know. Once again, my connection. This happened a few weeks ago, but my connection just dropped for some reason. I don't even know why, but.
I was covering for you. Don't worry.
Yeah. So bring me up to speed.
You were talking about the bats, and we hadn't lost any bats, and I'm thinking we really have an even better combination of bats this season than we did last season. And of course, we've got, you know, with Wieters in the middle of the lineup helping you know, protect that number four, number five guy.
Right. Yeah. Well, and what I was going to say before I got cut off was kind of what you were saying. And in fact, with the addition of Trumbo, you know, they may have even increased, you know, their bat productivity. Obviously, re-signing Davis, that's good. Manny, and I don't know if you mentioned this, but we've talked about this before. If Jonathan Scope can have a full healthy season, that's going to add to their muscle as well.
I mean, there's a lot of questions that could go to the good. I mean, if even half of the questions go positive for the Orioles, this could be quite a season.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll see. Now, they're talking about going out and signing Dexter Fowler. And I think, a lot of people around here are really kind of pushing for that. Again, Dexter Fowler is not what was the shortstop that the Blue Jays traded for last year in the middle of the year?
Troy Soloviski.
Yes, right. You know, so Fowler is not a Tulowitzki or you know, one of those kind of guys. He's an okay player. But again, you put a guy like that into the Orioles lineup where we desperately need a leadoff hitter. I think Fowler could do that. And he plays a decent enough outfield, and we need another corner outfielder. I think all of that will complement what the Orioles already have. And I think with that, they're not going to be this cellar-dwelling fifth place team that USA Today is predicting them to be. So,
right. And let me tell you, Rob, you know, back in the late 60s, we had a good Orioles team that needed a leadoff hitter. And they got a guy who was an outfielder who was mostly a second baseman, from the Chicago White Sox by the name of Don Buford, who really didn't come into his own until he hooked up with the Orioles and became the leadoff hitter. So who knows what kind of synergy could happen here with all these bats waiting on Dexter Fowler to maybe to get up there and turn it on.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you know, I heard on some talk radio around here last week, or maybe it was over the weekend, you know, people talking about Fowler. Well, you know, he doesn't have very many RBIs. He never really had a whole lot of, you know, RBI and blah 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 blah. And I'm yelling at my radio as I'm driving. We don't need him to have RBIs. We need him to get on base, so the guys behind him can get the RBIs. You know.
Absolutely. Dexter Fowler is perfect to be a leadoff hitter. You know, he didn't have, he doesn't have that same, there's not that same team in Chicago that, you know, he doesn't have that role there. I mean, he didn't have that role.
Right.
His role is perfectly defined when he walks in and picks up a bat in Baltimore. This is what he's going to do.
I think that's right, especially since, look, Fowler is going to be along the lines of your small ball player, you know, on a team that does not play small ball. So I think actually that's great because we don't need a power hitter. We need a guy to get on base with a little bit of speed, you know, do things that the Orioles have not been able to do or have done or been able to do over the last, you know, several years. And that is play some of that small ball or at least be a threat to do that, you know? So I say, let's go get him. Let's go get him, you know? We've got to compete in the East.
If Fowler's in the number one slot, Who do you put in the number two slot in the order?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm not sure that I can give the answer to that right now, because another piece of the puzzle that's missing, or that's a question mark, is this Korean guy, Kim.
I think
he's Korean. Yeah. We don't know how he's going to translate to the major leagues. My thinking is at this point, he's maybe your number two. And then maybe you go to Adam Jones, Chris Davis, or maybe it's Manny, number three, Chris Davis, Jones, five. Maybe Scope is six. Or Wieters is six. I mean, you got a good problem. It's like, where do you play all of these guys now?
Getting awfully crowded in the middle of that lineup.
that's a good problem to have. That's a really good problem to have.
Kim, to me, if he does translate well to the U.S., is going to be that number two hitter. I think that if he doesn't, and he doesn't pan out, that guy would probably end up being Manny Machado, simply because he has that temperament at the bat.
I don't like Manny that. I like Manny at three. I really like Manny at three.
I would go with
Nolan Reimold at two if he's healthy and he's playing instead of Kim. I go with something like that. Holy moly. What just happened here? Wow.
Ooh. What's going on? Sounds like you got crowded.
A website that I opened all of a sudden started playing, video with audio on it, and even though I have it all muted, anyway, it's a good problem for the Orioles to have. So
yes, it is.
We'll see.
We have to mention going down to the bottom of the lineup. You still have JJ Hardy. I mean, this is a team that's solid top to bottom in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm so skeptical about Hardy. I just don't know what's going to happen there.
He's going to need Stennis.
I just don't think he's healthy. I mean, I don't know. Let's see. Spring training is going to hopefully tell us a good bit. So, we'll see. We'll see. All right. You want to take a look at the Toronto Blue Jays having, they are the reigning champions in the American League. Not the reigning champions. That's the that's Kansas City Royals, but American League East.
This team. It's strange that the way we talked about the Orioles this year is sort of the way that the Blue Jays, that people talked about the Blue Jays last year. In fact, the Blue Jays didn't have all those pieces that they have now. At shortstop, they didn't have Troy Tulowitzki. I think they traded for him in the middle of the season, didn't they? So what I'm saying is that the Orioles have just about all the pieces for this year. But last year, Toronto was sort of in a worse sort of hole. They didn't get it going until the middle of the season, and then they surged into first place.
Let me just interject real quick. I mean, you're right, because that Tulowitzki signing or trade I guess it was a trade, that really was kind of the turning point for the Blue Jays. They really kind of surged forward with that. And let's not forget, they had David Price last year. He was keeping them there. But it really wasn't until they went out and traded for Tulowitzki that they really took off.
Yes, and you know, at this point, their biggest question is sort of like the Orioles' biggest question. It really is their it's their starting lineup. Their starting pitching.
Pitching. Because let's not forget they lost David Price. So now the one guy that was keeping them somewhat in contention. I mean, he's not the only guy. They obviously, they've got Chris. That's Tampa. Tampa's pitching rotation is really great. They just can't hit. But the Blue Jays, they were hanging around there. Their question mark now, as you just said, goes back to the starting pitching, because when you lose a David Price, that's gonna hurt your starting rotation.
Yeah, and right now, they got R.A. Dickey, who has been, has put in a lot of innings for them. He just had knee surgery, and at 42, obviously he's a knuckleball pitcher, but a little bit more than that, he throws a very high-velocity knuckleball. He still has to push off with that right knee, with that right leg. And, so that's going to hinder him. We're going to have to see how he recovers and responds to the treatment. And, he may not get it together until the middle of the year.
Yeah. So they're starting rotation right now, I'm looking at their depth chart. Stroman, Estrada, Dickey.
Marcus Stroman hasn't had a whole lot of major league time. I think he was like 6-1 last year. His ERA last year was like in the ones. So it was, he's getting people out.
Right.
But he's been a 15-6 lifetime. But he's a good, strong, young. He's only 24. Right-handed pitcher. So that that's going to be right now, as far as they're concerned. He's their number one. He's their future.
Right.
Marcus Estrada. Is he related to Chuck Estrada, the old Oriole pitcher?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
Marcus Estrada, now he was 13-8, ERA around 3.13 last year. He's going to give those guys a bunch of good innings. I think he threw over 180 innings last year. So,
he did. He had 181 last year. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. J.A. Happ, another one who, he's a lefty. So, that's always a good to have a left-hander. Being a left-hander, I always think it is.
Right.
But he was 11-8 last year. He'd probably be their number, three or four starter. So they really need to get R.A. Dickey back.
Right. And then they've got Aaron Sanchez. I guess they have penciled in right now as their number five guy. He's young. He's also the future. He's only a couple of years in the major league. 2 years.
Not bad. It's 7
last year. Yeah, three. Yeah, yep.
So they're looking for him to step up and be that guy now that they just lost.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's look at their I'm just looking around their position players. So they've got what's his name? Martin is the catcher, who's a
Russell
pretty good.
Spent a lot of times on the a lot of years of the New York Yankees, and he brings all of
pretty,
that.
Pretty good catcher. Yeah. First base, Colabello. Second base, Goins. Tulowitzki at short. Donaldson at third. That was another good pickup for them.
Yes, it was. That whole left side of the infield, when they got that, I mean, that team,
yeah.
You know, the Blue Jays really helped themselves.
Right. Still got the old man, Bautista, out in right field. Don't know how much longer he's going to keep going, but he's there. Pilar in center and Saunders in left. It's a pretty decent outfield.
Yeah, there's a lot of speed there, too. I mean, especially, you know, Kevin Pilar.
Right.
And Encarnacion DHing.
Yes, right. So,
and he gave you a couple last year.
You know, there's no doubt that the Toronto Blue Jays should be right there this year, and they are, you know, they're the team to beat currently.
Yeah,
you know,
top to bottom of that lineup, they're going to be as solid as the Orioles, and it's going to depend on, you know, their starters and our starters, who is going to step up.
Right. All right, now, Jeff, we got people out there that are claiming and predicting that the Boston Red Sox are going to win the division.
And you know the worst part of that is those people have paying jobs, not like us. Yeah,
that's right. And why? Because they got David Price?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
That's ridiculous that you know, a guy that's going to go up there once every 4 or 5 days or 6 days is going to be the guy that lifts your team, you know, from last place to first place.
Right.
Come on.
Right, cuz I don't think they've changed much else. Now, I'm just pulling up their depth chart. So let's look at it. So David Price comes in, and he goes right to the top as the number one. Then you got Clay Buchholz, Porcello, Rodriguez.
Let's talk about Clay Buchholz real quick.
Okay.
This guy has a pretty decent record when his team scores like 11 or 12 runs a game for him. His ERA was sky high a couple of years ago, and he managed to get like 13 wins or something or more.
Well, okay, so I'm looking at it right now. In 2014, he had 8 wins and an ERA of 5.34.
I think it was the year before. I'm not sure.
Well, the year before that, I think you're talking a couple of years before that, actually, because in 2013 he was 12-1 with an ERA of 1.74. The year before that, he was 11-8 with an ERA of 4.56. So I think it's the 2012 season that maybe you're looking at, 11 and an ERA of a little over 4.5.
Okay, so he got better than.
Okay, but that's going back, 4 years now. Last year he was 7-7 with a 3.26.
Okay.
So now he only had 18 starts and 113 innings. So I'm thinking he must have been injured, and I don't really recall. But he only got 18 starts, so that's really, you know, almost, that's a little more than half of what, you know, you project that they get around 30 starts, generally the starters. So, but, you know, Clay Buchholz, I don't know. I mean, you know, would the Orioles take him? Probably. You know.
Oh, he would be a number two starter.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah. But, you know, he wasn't doing much last year. If the Red Sox... The Red Sox need to hit the ball, and they need to field. You know, and that's, in addition to the pitching and everything, but, you know, they've got other problems than just David Price.
Big Poppy will be last season. Is he going to hit this year? you know.
Right.
It's
right.
Will Father Time catch up with him?
Yep. Well, it's a big question. And the Yankees, as far as I can tell, haven't really done anything this offseason. So, I mean, I'm sure they'll be competitive because they, you know, they always are. But I don't know. I don't know. It should be interesting. It should be very interesting.
And we'll get, you know, we'll focus on the Yankees and the Red Sox and, of course, the Rays here in the next couple of weeks.
Right. Yep. All right, Jeff. Well, we're about out of time. So, you know, we'll put this one to bed, and we'll pick up again next week with more hot stove baseball, and we'll actually have a week of spring training, which we'll be able to see and hear, you know, what's going on, and we'll be getting ready for spring training games. So it's an exciting time.
Baseball.
Exciting time.
Woo-hoo!
And I guess you'll start, you'll have to start reporting on some games, huh?
Yeah, that's right. We'll be going out there in the muddy, cold, windy fields of Ohio.
Tell me about it. I'm about to do that on the field as an umpire. So we're getting all set for that as well. So.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, always good to kibitz with you about these things, and we'll do it again next week, so you have a good one.
You too, Rob.
All right, folks, that'll do it for this week's edition of Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live, blogtalkradio.com. I'm Rob McQuay for Jeff Coles, and for the absentee Philly Jeff Dyer, we'll get him back in here one of these days. Y'all have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte. The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy, for it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You gotta see this porn site.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.